charging down the right wing. The backhander fought off by the netminder, Byron Fancy. Loose puck to the blue line. Vandalese the effort. Tip scores! Carson Folk is Mr. Teddy Bear! A deflection in front. Red light on. 1-0 Calgary.
I promised you we'd start it off with something feel-good today. Kleiner, I believe you tweeted this yesterday. One of about 23,000 videos or photos of teddy bears hitting the ice that were on my Twitter feed at about like 4:10 p.m. But I believe you tweeted this, and I nodded my head and said, "Yep, that is the exact same sentiment I would have after a hell of a week for sports in this city. A cool moment like that. That's exactly what hockey in Calgary needed, right?
I believe so. Now, correct me if I'm right. If I'm wrong, correct me. If I'm right, please confirm.
I'll correct you if you're right.
Klein's video was cropped 90 degrees off, but was still a video of the event happening, correct?
Yeah, I don't know why it decided to not rotate itself when that's not at all how I was shooting it, but I believe
I didn't notice it. Now I got to go look.
Well, you can't not notice it. Almost got like vertigo watching the video.
The one of all the bears flying is definitely not the way it's supposed to be. The one of the guys playing in the bears is exactly how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You get the point of the other one. There's bears flying.
I do get the point.
It's a happy moment. Flying the Luddite.
And you did caption said video appropriately.
Yes. Yeah, I said it sucks.
This is a poorly filmed account of what happened today at the Saddle Dome.
If you look at it, like if you twist your head
next
and look
time
at
you
it,
steal somebody else's video. That's
if you lie down on your side.
Yeah, if you look on your side, like it's actually like there's pans, there's some zooms at times. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually pretty well done. It's just, you know.
Just 90 degrees off.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, 25,025, the total number of teddy bears collected yesterday, which brings the total since 1995 to 402,608 bears collected by the Calgary Hitmen, distributed to so many different charities at the holiday season, not just in Calgary, but around Southern Alberta. So congrats again.
70-plus charitable recipients of it?
Yep.
That's incredible.
So congrats to Mr. Moore, Mr. Kerr, and everybody else involved yesterday. That was pretty cool to see.
The 17,000-plus fans?
You were there.
I was there. Took
Klein,
my boys.
Okay.
Their first ever hockey game, Pat. They were jacked.
I need your... You guys were both in press-level seats, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Klein, you go first. Tell us about your teddy bear throwing experience. Did you get one onto the ice?
No, from the press level? Are you kidding?
I thought maybe you guys had superhuman strength. Or
Vlad Guerrero Sr. couldn't get one to the ice with his arm.
No, the problem is
I came
embarrassingly short because they give you bags to put all the bears in before you throw them out
onto
the ice.
Did you make it onto the second level?
And it made it to the second level, but with a bit more velocity than it should have. As I was going to throw, my finger got caught in the bag and just went like straight down. So The force that I wanted it to go outward and then down, it just kind of gronk spiked down towards some poor soul in the second level.
There was a death at the teddy bear. Yeah. they can't confirm who the killer was. So he's just outed himself on Peter and Steinberg.
It was whoever was throwing a giant brown bear. That's who it was.
How did the boys do?
We talked about it for about a week, and we explained that there are some boys and girls out there that aren't fortunate enough to have lots of toys and stuffed animals, and there's a way that we can help, and we get to go to our first hockey game. So they're all about this, jacked up, went for a big swim yesterday morning, and one of them fell asleep in the car when we were going to go buy the stuffed animals. So the other one, I'm holding hands, we're walking through the massive big box liquidation, whatever, trying to find some stuffed animals, running into people all over that are going to the teddy bear. Talking, where are the stuffed animals? Where are the stuffed animals? Have you seen any? Where'd you get that? What's going on? So clearly not alone. And my kid is chanting, hockey game, hockey game, hockey, for like 25 minutes as we are marching around trying to find bears. And they had a blast. The napper was up and ready for the game. Big popcorn. I believe we had a malt to start while warm-up was going on. They got down to the glass, put their fingers up on the glass, and watched warm-up behind the Hitman net. They were having the time of their life. And, they got to toss the teddy bears.
Did you toss any? Or only the boys?
Mama Bear was like, isn't there one more bag? I'm like, yeah, Daddy might have thrown one. Leave it alone.
How'd
don't
do?
Tell them this is another one.
Did you get it to the second level?
No!
No, the second level.
Obviously, second level.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you were up near the top of the press level and you failed in that regard, too.
Was, no.
If you couldn't have made it to the second level,
you could have
used a snooker
cue to get it off, over the red awning and down. But the boys had a blast, and with the goal coming so early, there was the, half hour to 45-minute break cleaning up the Bears?
Yep.
A minute 30 into the game, 34, whatever it was, and by the end of the first period, I thought, well, that's probably enough. Time to go.
You guys.
I mean, they're four. You got like a 2 to 3 hour window. We're there nice and early to watch warm up. Like, yeah, there's your event. Hope you had fun, boys. I didn't even know they missed anything. So, 1-0 Hitmen won, right, Dad? Sure. Yeah.
3-2 they lost in overtime, but that doesn't matter. Congratulations to the Calgary Hitmen. More than 400,000 Bears since 95. Yesterday, more than 25,000 collected. It really was. Welcome to Pinder and Steinberg, by the way. Klein is on the ones and twos. Pinder and Steinberg looking lovingly into one another's eyes. It was a rough week, and unquestionably the most bizarre week in sports radio I've ever been a part of. It, I know that Bill Peters resigned on Friday, and I know the Flames played their second game with Jeff Ward as interim head coach, and really their first official game with him as head coach on Saturday, but sure is tough to separate, hey? Like, it doesn't really feel like we've moved on yet with how tumultuous, bizarre, difficult, whatever word, adjective you want to use. Last week was as unique, and not in a good way, a week that we've ever been a part of, and it still kind of feels like we've yet to totally detach from it.
Well, the league hasn't made a statement on it, and has anything happened that's going to make Akeem Alou feel like justice has been served? Not really. I mean, Peters didn't even get fired, so from Alou's perspective, that's probably, there could have been better scenarios there. He's not working, so that's maybe a partial win, but there hasn't been any righting of wrongs from the league, and I expect there will be. So that's going to be hanging around, and we're seeing more and more allegations of abuse of power from NHL coaches by former players, Johan Franzen, Chris Chelios in the last 24 hours on Mike Babcock.
Yep.
We've seen a dismissal in the Western League today. We've seen a resignation, whether that's behaviorally related or not, of a coach in the queue. I think, our competitors' insider stated it best, that hockey's days of reckoning continue.
I'll just give you an insight into the very bizarre workings of Steinberg's head. But these are the things that...
I feel like we need space music now, or like the Unsolved Mysteries theme, like...
Or X-Files. Or Yakety Sax. That would probably do
as well.
You're
being too hard on yourself. I feel like we need more mysterious, deep, and confusing music.
So here are just some of the things that have been popping around my head since the last 48, 72 hours. I talked to a couple people about this following the game on Saturday. Like, I really wonder, there's been a lot talked about Akeem Alou and how he's acted in the last 10 years. There's been a lot of talk about how many teams he's played for, some of the reports out there about him being a bad teammate, having a tough time fitting in, having a tough time sticking on teams. But I really wonder, had Akeem Alou not been the target of hazing in junior hockey and not had to go through just an awful ordeal, if you're not familiar with it, I would really encourage you to go to sportsnet.ca and read Gary Joyce's long read that he did with Akeem in February of this year. It was actually bizarre foreshadowing, because a number of months later, what would happen involving the Flames would happen. But I wonder if Alou hadn't been the target of as much bullying as he was growing up, and then the bullying and hazing and just awful, awful handling of it by the Ontario Hockey League as a teenager, and then as a 20-year-old, if he hadn't been subject to racially motivated abuse by a man in power, is Akeem Alou the quote-unquote bad teammate that he is as he moves forward into his professional career? I really wonder about that.
No, we don't know, Pat. I mean, we can't unwind that. You can ask the question, but no one has the answer.
I agree, but these are just some of the things that are in my head. And that's why I think some of the criticism directed towards Alou in some circles is a little unfair, because I don't think there's been much empathy or much trying to put yourself in his shoes during a lot of this. So I've wondered that.
Well, and I found it sort of interesting at the press conference. There seemed to be a lot of sympathy for the GM, which there should be. This is not a situation that that happened under his watch. But, I mean, there didn't seem like there was a lot of sympathy for the victim of all the events that started the first domino. Like, how difficult has it been for you? Well, probably not as tough as it's been for Akeem, to be fair. Now, that said, like, I know Akeem, and I watched Akeem burn a lot of bridges in the organization he was in. And Akeem's had more second chances than most players. But none of that means he should have faced what he had to face. Yeah. And we don't know how much of him not fitting in has to do with his history. We don't. It might be zero. It might be 100. But we've seen other people that have been able to rise through that. And we've seen others where it's ended where we thought they could go. So the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I would not suggest you would assign 100% of his failures in the sport to
no, definitely
to
not.
Either. And I'm not suggesting you are, but it's just, we really don't know. But to say that Akeem had a poor reputation in the hockey world would probably even be understating it, given how many teams felt disappointed and needing to move on from Akeem at times. But again, was it the hockey world itself that put him in a spot for him to be that way? I don't know. I really don't know.
What I wonder what comes next for Bill Peters. I wonder what comes next in this entire saga. Does he coach again? I know Wes Gilbertson of Post Media asked Brad Treliving that on Friday, and as you'd expect, Brad said that's really tough to speculate on right now. But does he ever get a job again in hockey?
I think so.
Does it happen in North America?
Probably
does
not.
Does it happen in Europe?
It would have to happen in places where they don't seem to care about this stuff very much. So Russia would be the top of the list.
Does he get an opportunity at some point to? Because the apology letter that was sent out on Wednesday night was hollow and clearly written by a lawyer. But at some
point, didn't even recognize.
No, it didn't, for legal reasons.
Events in Carolina. Is he going to write a different letter for that, or is he just going to pretend that didn't happen? I don't know.
No, but I wonder if some point down the road, when this is maybe faded away a little bit, does he come out and maybe try to actually apologize and make amends the proper way, as opposed to trying to save money that is owed to him and save his reputation. I wonder if at some point down the road, whether it's an interview or in a piece written by one of the major networks or something like that, I wonder if there is an actual apology. And I as you pointed out, I mean, we've got a situation happening in the hockey world right now with the Swift Current Broncos in the Western Hockey League, right in the middle of controversy and not without his many critics. Dan Carcillo is kind of waging a war on this when it comes to different misdeeds done by prior coaches. You know, Brent Sutter put out a news release late last week about some of the allegations that have been levied his way. I just wonder what happens now for the hockey world and how much of the surface we're just starting to scratch with this sum of stuff, this type of stuff. So these are some of the things that have been rattling around my brain over the last 96 hours or so.
I would think the league has to make a serious statement. We saw Hockey Canada make one today. Not one that sort of says, here's what's good and here's what's bad, but we need to be better, which is fair. There are a lot of the people that have been sort of, their names have been bandied about with allegations or at least involvement in some of the aforementioned activities, like Babcock and Peters themselves, Hockey Canada employees for major events with some of our best at high profile tournaments. That doesn't mean that Hockey Canada is telling them to behave poorly, but what it does mean is that I don't think there's been many corners of the hockey world that aren't affected by this because of how small this universe can be at times. And when you talk about coaches and GMs and Hockey Canada lending guys in season, I mean, there's not like one single person in management and coaching can overlap a lot of organizations and touch a lot of other people in the hockey world. So I think everyone working in hockey is probably only a relationship or two away from one of the people either facing or having to deal with allegations at this point.
Final thing I'll say, and just to double back on the Akeem Alou part, some of the things that happened to him, those things are proven, like trauma like that is proven to alter a human being's mental health. And I think that with some of the work that Bell Let's Talk has done, with like the NHL has done with their mental health awareness initiatives, and just some of the overall understanding that as a society we've started to understand with mental health, what happened to Akeem in his very formative years, that stuff alters a human being's mental health. It does. And sometimes you don't know that when it's happening, and it's hard to understand that maybe you need help. But that's the final thing that I'll say, is that I know there's a lot of, well, look at how bad a teammate he was. Look at how many teams he was on. Is there some blame on him? Me? Yeah. Does a human being have to take some responsibility? For sure. But I would not wish any of what happened to Akeem from the ages of about 16 to 20 on anyone, knowing the tough situation he was already in. Like, I really do encourage you to go read about all the garbage that happened when he was playing yep. in the Ontario Hockey League. And then a few years later, to go through that with Bill Peters, to have that type of racially motivated abuse hurled towards you, and then to have that derail your first year of professional hockey, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So that's the final thing that I'll say about it.
Yeah, and I'll say this. It doesn't matter if he's a bad teammate or a good team. No one deserves that behavior to be levied on them, be it from the bullying standpoint, the hazing standpoint, the abuse of power, the racist epitaph, I think is the word people are using, yeah. or just language, racism faced at the hands. No one deserves that. I don't care if you're the worst teammate of all time. You don't deserve it.
Yeah.
So they're two separate things. Anyone who's talking about Akeem Alou's hockey career has missed the point entirely.
100%. They're separate issues. That is 100%.
They totally are. So Akeem didn't make it to his dreams. He, with the level of talent he had, many thought he could be a star in the league. He didn't reach that. That has nothing to do with him being the subject of racial abuse by a coach, and maybe more than a coach. They're totally separate incidents.
It just, the whole immediate victim blaming really bothered
yes,
me.
It has nothing to do with it. And so anyone that's telling you about Akeem this or that with his career, that doesn't mean he deserves abuse. Of course not. His success as a hockey player has nothing to do with facing racism. None.
Here's a couple of texts to wrap up the segment. This one from John. We all deal with mental health differently. I guess we all have a breaking point, and that's a very fair point. And this one, Pat, I can't speak directly to Alou's situation, but I can tell you from firsthand experience as a father who literally watched his son's entire personality change over the course of a four-month period as the result of bullying abuse at his school. Abuse and bullying can absolutely affect the mental health and personality of a person, 100%. Again, I can't speak to Alou, and ultimately everyone is responsible for their own actions, but I would say it is entirely plausible that his behavior over the years could be directly linked to his situation he has previously been through. Good stuff on the text line there. And I think with that, I'm cool. Do you have anything final you'd like to say on the week that was? Very odd, unique, and difficult week in the city of Calgary?
Glad it's over. Say that. And at least in terms of the very focused microscope on this market and this team, I think we're going to hear lots about abuse of power from coaches and behavior that's unacceptable, that hockey culture has allowed to become somewhat acceptable in its own way, in its own lens, in its own disciplinary actions or lack thereof. But I'm excited to talk about, you know, why is this guy in the power play, and let's get this guy 100%. On this line, and why isn't Lindholm at center, because that's taken a break for the last six shows.
Kleiner, I know you're a huge mental health advocate as well. Anything that you want to add to wrap up the segment?
No, I think you guys touched on it perfectly. I think that every person deals with these sorts of things different ways, and different words and different phrases, and everything affects a human being differently. So I think it would be interesting to see just, again, if he didn't have to go through all of this, the type of person he would be today, because that stuff can stick with you forever. And it looks like, to at least a certain extent, it has with him.